Okay, I think that was a crowd called the Deptons or something like that. They're from Detroit, and they're fairly... I got it off the internet. Like a lot of things now, it's coming off the internet. And it's a very open medium and a very democratic forum, perhaps. And perhaps it'll be... may sound the death knell for the media as we know it, and especially the established media, the profit-making media, and, well, maybe not. Well, this is what we're here to talk about anyway, and I think we've got Brian Green on the line. Hello, Brian. Can you hear us at all? I don't think we have Brian on the line at all. Brian,
hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can now, absolutely. Yeah.
Hello.
Well, how are you keeping? Can you hear us? John, we can't. Brian can't hear us. We can hear him.
Hello, can you hear me?
Brian, we can hear you, but I don't think you can hear us. Hello.
I can hear you now.
Okay, John is. We actually just got some new technology in the studio, and that's why there's a few little glitches today. But you can hear us now, yeah?
I can hear you now.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, Brian, you set up something this week called a forum for people setting up podcasts. And
yes.
Can you tell us first of all what is a podcast?
A podcast is an audio recording, normally sent out like a blog message. So it goes around on RSS and it's served off the internet. So in simplest terms, it's like listening to an MP3 file on your MP3 player, which has come from the internet where it was hosted after recording.
So first of all, what you need to actually put up when you're setting up a forum for people actually want to podcast themselves rather than just consume and listen. Okay, and what we're going to do is perhaps if you describe, first of all, if you have a mini disc or if you have some sort of recording device or even a microphone on your computer, that's all you need, really, and some way of software of putting it onto the computer. And then what do you do then after that?
Well, you know, as you said, for as little as about €7, you could buy a headset microphone and plug it into your computer. With programs like Audacity for free on the internet, you can record away. And when you've finished recording, save your file and upload it onto a web server. And then with some XML, you can send around the recording in an envelope as such to say the new show, the new recording, the new audio blog entry has arrived. Here it is. Have a listen.
Okay, now for people who don't know or not very familiar with computers, which is still a lot of people, yeah, we're still going to get technical at the moment because as a consumer, it's going to mean a hell of a lot in years to come because a lot of things are going to be something called 3G technology, so which means you can probably be able to hear radio stations or any program you want sent to you directly by your phone, indeed, or your, I think they probably put the iPods probably will be internet accessible fairly shortly as well. But okay, just on the technical end of it, okay, say somebody has done a program and you say they have to translate it into an XML, where do they go to do that?
They can do that through web services that are online, so they can upload and the web service can create the XML for them and place it up on the server. So if you register with companies like Libsyn.com, you can upload your file, it will make the XML for you, and hey presto, you're ready to go. Tell all your friends about it.
Is that a free site, Libsyn?
It's not. It would be entry level $5 per month.
Okay, is there any free sites that would do that?
There is. I couldn't reference to you one for free right away, but if you did a Google search on podcasting and free services, you will have a few hits on that.
Very good. And is there any operating from Ireland free service podcasting?
Not for podcast hosting, no. None that I'm aware of. What we're setting up is, initially, it's a forum, and what we hope to do from the forum is set up a representative body so that podcasters get represented for all their issues and requirements when it comes to monetization, making money from podcasts, when it comes to the legal issues behind recording radio programs, when it comes to licensing issues with regard to music licensing of commercial music in podcasts. Those issues will all have to be teased out with the representative bodies of the license holders, with legalities, etc. So the podcasters are coming together to say we're going to represent ourselves in a forum, in a kind of a union of strength to say we're here, we've got an agenda, and we need to, you know, look after our interests.
Yeah, there's something like 21 Irish podcasters at the moment, and it's probably a figure that's steadily growing. But what sort of issues, for instance, how would people make money out of it? Would they either use it advertising on the site that they're going to, or would it be in years to come trying to get money off the Broadcasting Commission as part of the licence fee or something?
Well, for me, the objective is not necessarily to make money. Podcasting has been popularized because it's passionate, and there exists a lot of formatted radio out there that people have been turned off from, and people are turning to listening to podcasts because of the passion of the creators of those podcasts. So from the essence, for me, it's the creation of it. But to make money out of it, people normally assume the commercials and advertising and sponsorship. The problem we see there is that the jog wheel on an MP3 player will bypass the advertisements very quickly. People have now got a method to cut out and bypass the ads. The most likely form of advertising in podcasts will probably be sponsorship, where the host regularly mentions the name of the company that is sponsoring the show.
Well, so that's back to the old days, like come full circle, really, from the first days of radio.
It's back to the Ovaltine Hour and the Jacobs Hour with Frankie Byrne and those kind of programs. It is going a bit full circle there, which brings in all sorts of questions about, you know, product placement within programs from the sponsor, and how safe and how that is going to be regularised by the commissions that look over these issues.
So there's going to be some sort of probably a monitoring group, and perhaps they can let listeners know which ones are carrying advertisements, which podcasts are carrying advertisements and which ones are not.
Absolutely, yeah. As always, technology moves faster than regulation, so we're in the kind of, you know, the unknown area now as we wait on regulation to catch up with technology. But other forms of making money will bypass commercials and sponsorship, and it will be podcasters going directly to source. So, for instance, if a podcaster went straight to a company and said, you've got a story to tell, basically anyone who has something to say can podcast it. So if a company wants to say something to its customers, to its employees, to its partners, they can podcast that. Podcasters can facilitate them to do that, and we're cutting out the need for mass audience, which podcasting doesn't, you know, suit all the time. Podcasting is like, you know, web blogs. It's very suited to niche audiences, and there's no requirement for a sponsor, because the funder of the podcast will be the company who have something to say.
There is one sort of drawback, apart from what we heard there, like the internet will always bring sort of little bits of gratuity or little bits of just wanton whatever, you know, just for, well, I don't know if that's necessarily bad, you know, that's just probably down to taste in the end, and people can decide what they want to hear, which is good. But there is probably another element, that people are less involved in dialogues, perhaps, that they're more into individual expression. For instance, mass media, for all its failings and flaws, it can actually engender nationwide discussions about certain issues.
It can, but what has happened to media is that we consume it alone now. We used to listen to the same radio station as our parents in the car. We used to sit around the one television in the house and consume the same media. Now, with the onslaught of digital technology, the number of stations and the number of platforms that media can be enjoyed upon, children have their own backseat screens on some cars to see television. They have their Game Boys, their personal PlayStations, their iPods, their radios and televisions in their own bedroom. Now, I'm not saying whether this is good or bad thing, but that's the way it is. So people are enjoying media alone. So the style of broadcasting that suits that is not necessarily the mass one-to-many nationwide broadcasting with thousands and tens and hundreds of thousands of listeners.
Yeah, but I suppose what may happen is that you're going to get people, at the moment they're leaving comments, but you can probably divide things up eventually into people who are just doing the speech-based podcasting, those who are doing interviews as well is another one, people who are actually trying to create dialogue. And then you can subdivide them into which ones are carrying advertising and which ones are not.
Correct. I think the ones that will survive this initial gold rush era of podcasting will be the ones that bring compelling new content to radio. You can definitely put podcasting in the radio spectrum. And people who bring passionate, compelling new content to radio will have the best chances of succeeding in the future.
Why do you say gold rush?
Well, like in 1993, 94, when the World Wide Web came along, these are the early stages, the early adopters, the technologists are in control at the moment. There's a supply and demand differential where there is demand, but the supply is only getting off its feet. So in that way, there is a bit of a gold rush for those who adopt early, get their strategies right, and, you know, plow their wares into the marketplace and see if, you know, they can attain an audience. Because there's, you know, less or little or few competition out there, I would put it in a kind of a gold rush sense.
I think IndieMedia at the moment is at the forefront of the voluntary end of the voluntary media, and it's sort of definitely an internet revolution as far as that's concerned, a media revolution. But there has to be some way. If I hear some brilliant podcasts out there and fantastic stuff, and they're done on a daily basis, you know, some in the Gaelic language, for instance. And it would be unfair at some stage to see the Broadcasting Commission giving grants to people like Radio Na Gael Tochta and broadcasters doing probably a lesser job, if not the same job. And somebody has to put food on the table as well, who's doing podcasts. So can you ever see it going that way of more equalisation, depending on the number of hits you get, for instance, or as a public service broadcasting model?
I think that it is very uneven and unfair system, the marketplace. And unfortunately, it is the capital that, you know, where it travels and where it goes can dictate. So if you look at what's happened with the, you know, top 100 in iTunes since it arrived on 26th of June 2005, the IndieCasters, the grassroots who developed this technology over the last 18 months, they've been pushed out by big corporate broadcasting brands in Europe and in the States. And there is, you know, a tendency for the very large to dominate. And, you know, that will be the way it is under the system that, you know, works in television, in radio.
But they're at the moment using terrestrial broadcast to advertise themselves online, for instance, and that's perhaps how they're able to carry that. But can you see then, is the terrestrial broadcasting system going to be under threat? For instance, will we have FM broadcasting in another 10 years' time in Ireland?
The space will probably be part of the digital switch over. So I would say that while there might be some, you know, elements of FM in micro and community broadcasting, the big stations will have gone digital by then. As for, you know, podcasters and how they will impact on radio, all you've got to do is take one person. If somebody wants to experiment with this, get themselves an MP3 player, download a dozen podcasts and see how their radio week shapes as compared to listening to radio.
Oh, you don't even need an MP3 player. Well, you just need an MP3 player on your computer. It'll do it. You don't need an iPod or anything.
You don't, but the iPod and the MP3 player and the CD-RW in your car stereo makes podcasting and radio mobile again. It, you know, you are tethered to your computer if you have to sit in front of it. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the impact of, you know, computer-only listening would only go as far as streaming ever did, because you had to be connected. But as you said earlier, if third-generation phones, UMTS, and fourth-generation phones bring broadband, they can deliver radio streams and podcasts, you know, quicker than real time. Unfortunately, the telecommunications operators have a huge cut of the cost of getting connection to these streams and internet connections over mobile phones. So in the early stages, I wouldn't expect its growth to be huge.
It's a big swindle, isn't it? The massive prices that people are paying for mobile phones. And maybe when Wi-Fi comes along, people will be able to make free phone calls throughout the world on their laptops, for instance.
They could. The future of the radio device will probably be in, you know, a radio that, once it moves into a new space, like it travels from cell to cell, or it enters a car park of a large mall, then it could pick up Wi-Fi. And then when it's, you know, in between on the roads, it could be picking up 3G, and then when you get home, it could be picking up Wi-Fi from your own network with one single unit, one radio. So things will have to be able to, technology will have to transcend to one purchase Mm-hmm. If everybody had to buy, you know, an iPod and a 3G phone and a DAB radio to get their choice as they move around, mm-hmm. it isn't the most ideal solution. It will be what we'll have to settle for about the next 5-8 years. Mm-hmm. But in the future, I can see a single radio that is self-programmable, that it can tune itself into whatever its requirements are at a particular space and time.
Mm-hmm. And even at the moment, you were talking about RSS, which is basically the computer will automatically download, whether it's your iPod or anything, will automatically download the programs that you said that you want to listen to in the future. So if you like a particular broadcaster, it'll automatically download the next time he puts up something on the internet.
Absolutely. I have to say hats off to Near FM for being the first radio station in Ireland to go podcasting. And if you want to get one of the particular shows that Near FM podcast, you schedule that, and while your MP3 player, and it's not just iPods from Apple, is synchronized and getting its battery charged overnight beside your broadband connection, and broadband is an absolute requirement here, dial-up just won't work with it, mm-hmm. you get your show that was scheduled. So you can pull it out of the charger, dash for the bus in the morning, turn it on, and your Near FM program is there.
Well, that's all right. Well, in theory, we still have very limited web space at the moment, and I think bandwidth as well. So we're going to try improve on that in the foreseeable future, I'm sure. But as well as that, so just finally, for anybody wanting to make a podcast, you basically go to put in free podcasting, is it, into Google and see how to work it.
If you search around the terms podcasting, look at Libsyn. Mm-hmm. While it isn't absolutely free, it is a very low-cost entry point into the hosting. And there's no surprises. If you have an extremely popular podcast, you're not going to be hit with surcharges for downloads in such a model.
Mm-hmm. But there is people like archive.org, for instance, they carry free audio now. I'm not sure if they do podcasting, but how would you turn that into a podcast if something is on there?
You can host your MP3s through archive.org. There is issues with a lag time between when you put it up and when it can be fully available to the world.
12 hours or something.
Yeah, but it is possible. So if you want to do it on the cheap, there are plenty of solutions out there. It's the internet, and it was invented to bypass blockages. So there are ways, you know, to do everything a different way and cheaper.
But again, some sort of free software can turn putting it up a straightforward MP3, how to turn that into an RSS feed. There's software out that'll do that as well.
There's software up there that as soon as it's dropped into a directory on a web server, it can automatically create and, you know, automatically spin up an XML file for you. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't concentrate on the technology. I think if people are interested in doing this, if you're passionate, if you've got something to say, say it. Get a dictaphone, get an old tape recorder, start doing it, bring it to the computer, get a friend down the road who knows more than you do. You can get it up there via those methods, but it's coming from what's in your heart, what's in your head, what you want to say.
So it's don't give up about the radio, be the radio, or voice for the voiceless as well.
Yes, it's like that old Jella Biafra, you know, don't hate the media, become the media.
Okay, that's brilliant. Well, Brian Green, thanks very much, and best of luck. I hope that it's this revolution we're about to see unfold, who knows where it'll lead, and that's the whole brilliance of it, I suppose. But thanks very much for speaking to us today. Great stuff. We'll just take a promo now.
867-1016. Text 087-69-44-500. Email. Access at nearfm.ie. You choose Near FM.
Local news, local views, local point.
This evolved out of separate groups where I just hit in different areas of Ballymun. The BRL divided Ballymun into five neighbourhoods, set up forums.
A National Adult Literacy Awareness Week, which has the theme Active Citizenship, which is basically looking at how literacy can be a barrier to political participation and understanding the political process.
The decision of Sean Ryan to step down, not to run for the next general election. Sean Ryan is our local TD, our local Labour TD here in Dublin North.
Local news, local views, local point. Weekday mornings at 10, weekday evenings at 5:30.
Your community group or organisation can advertise free of charge on Near FM 101.6. The Near FM Community Notice Board is broadcast at 1 p.m. Monday to Friday. To contact the Notice Board, telephone 867 1016 or email access@nearfm.ie.
Across Northeast Dublin, Near FM.
Okay, we're just waiting for track three to be... I think the technology, we're still getting it today, but okay, we'll skip track three and we will go to track four after this, and I'll just announce it right now. Okay, we are getting technical today because we have a technical sort of novelties all around us here. So the next track is actually a piece from Bolivia, and we will be talking about water privatisation in Bolivia and Ireland straight after this.